Chapter 31. Valve and Seat Service. Intake and Exhaust Valves. Terminology: automotive engine valves are of a poppet valve design. The term poppet refers to the shape of the valve and their operation in automotive engines. The valve is opened by means of a valve train that is operated by a cam. The cam is timed to the piston position and crankshaft cycle. The valve is closed by one or more springs. A typical valve is shown in Figure 31.1. Intake valves control the inlet of cool, low-pressure induction charges. Exhaust valves handle hot, high-pressure exhaust gases. This means that exhaust valves are exposed to more severe operating conditions. They are made from much higher quality materials than the intake valves, which makes them more expensive. The valve is held in place and is positioned in the head by the valve guide. The portion of the valve that seals against the valve seat in the cylinder head is called the valve face. The face and seat will have an angle of either 30 or 45 degrees, which are the nominal angles. Actual service angles may vary. Most engines use a nominal 45 degree valve and seat angle. Parts involved. A valve spring holds the valve against the seat. The valve keepers, also called locks, secure the spring retainer to the stem of the valve. Refer to Figure 31.1, Identification of the Parts of a Valve. For valve removal, it is necessary to compress the spring and remove the valve keepers. Then the spring, valve seals, and valve can be removed from the head. A typical valve assembly is shown in Figure 31.2. Valve size relationships. Extensive testing has shown that a normal relationship exists between the different dimensions of valves. Refer to Figure 31.2, Typical Valve Spring and Related Components. Dual valve springs are used to reduce valve train vibrations and a spring seat is used to protect aluminum heads. Intake valves. Engines with cylinder bores that measure from 3 to 8 inches, or 80 to 200 millimeters, will have intake valve head diameters that measure approximately 45% of the bore size. The intake valve must be larger than the exhaust valve to handle the same mass of gas. The larger intake valve controls low velocity, low density gases. The distance the valve opens is close to 25% of the valve head diameter. Exhaust valves. The exhaust valve head diameter is approximately 38% of the cylinder bore size. Exhaust valve heads are approximately 85% of the size of intake valve heads. The exhaust valve controls high velocity, high pressure gases. These gases can be handled by a smaller valve. See Figure 31.3. Valve materials. Alloy steel. Alloys used in exhaust valve materials are largely of chromium for oxidation resistance, with small amounts of nickel, manganese, and nitrogen added. Heat treating is used whenever it is necessary to produce special valve properties. Stellite. An alloy of nickel, chromium, and tungsten, stellite is non-magnetic. Some valves use this product only on the tip of the valve to help reduce wear in places where the rocker arm contacts the valve stem on engines that do not use a roller rocker arm. Stellite is also used on some valve faces. Inconel. A type of alloy containing nickel, chrome, and iron and is used mostly in racing engines. Titanium. About half the weight of conventional valves, titanium reduces the tension on valve springs resulting in higher RPM engine operation. The valve stems are often moly coated to help prevent sticking in the valve guide. Stainless steel. Used in many heavy-duty applications, stainless steel often uses chrome-plated valve stems and stellite tips to improve long-term durability. Aluminized. The valve is aluminized where corrosion may be a problem. Aluminized valve facing reduces valve recession when unleaded gasoline is used. Aluminum oxide forms to separate the valve steel from the cast iron seat to keep the face metal from sticking. Refer to Figure 31.3, the intake valve is larger than the exhaust valve because the intake charge is being drawn into the combustion chamber at a low speed due to differences in pressure between atmospheric pressure and the pressure, or vacuum, inside the cylinder. The exhaust is actually pushed out by the piston and, therefore, the size of the valve does not need to be as large, leaving more room in the cylinder head for the larger intake valve. Tech tip. Hot engine plus cold weather equals trouble. Serious valve damage can occur if cold air reaches hot exhaust valve soon after the engine is turned off. An engine equipped with exhaust headers and/or straight-through mufflers can allow cold air a direct path to the hot exhaust valve. The exhaust valve can warp and, or crack as a result of rapid cooling. This can easily occur during cold windy weather when the wind can blow cold outside air directly up the exhaust system. Using reverse flow mufflers with tailpipes and a catalytic converter reduces the possibilities of this occurring. Sodium-filled valves, Some heavy-duty applications use hollow-stem exhaust valves that are partially filled with metallic sodium. The sodium in the valve becomes a liquid at operating temperatures. As it splashes back and forth in the valve stem, the sodium transfers heat from the valve head to the valve stem. The heat goes through the valve guide into the coolant. In general, a one-piece valve design using properly selected materials will provide satisfactory service for automotive engines. See Figure 31.4. Refer to Figure 31.4. A sodium-filled valve uses a hollow stem, which is partially filled with metallic sodium, a liquid when hot, to conduct heat away from the head of the valve. Warning: if a sodium-filled valve is damaged and the sodium leaks out, it can cause a fire if exposed to water. Sodium reacts violently when exposed to water and burns uncontrollably. Valve seats. Integral seats: the valve face closes against a valve seat to seal the combustion chamber. The seat is generally formed as part of the cast iron head of automotive engines, called an integral seat. See Figure 31.5. The seats are usually induction hardened so that unleaded gasoline can be used. This minimizes valve recession as the engine operates. Valve recession is the wearing away of the seat, so that the valve sits further into the head. Insert seats: an insert seat fits into a machined recess in the steel or aluminum cylinder head. Insert seats are used in all aluminum head engines and in applications for which corrosion and wear resistance are critical. Aluminum heads also include insert valve guides. The exhaust valve seat runs as much as 180 degrees Fahrenheit, or 82 degrees Celsius, cooler in aluminum heads than in cast iron heads, because aluminum conducts heat faster than cast iron. Insert seats are also used to recondition integral valve seats that have been badly damaged. See Figure 31.6. Refer to Figure 31.5. Integral valve seats are machined directly into the cast iron cylinder head and are induction hardened to prevent wear. Refer to Figure 31.6. Insert valve seats are a separate part that is interference fitted to a counterbore in the cylinder head. Valve fault diagnosis. Careful inspection of the cylinder head and valves can often reveal the root cause of failure. Poor valve seating: a valve seat recession can result from improper valve lash adjustments on solid lifter engines. It can also result from misadjustments on a valve train using hydraulic lifters. The valve clearance will also be reduced as a result of valve head cupping or valve face and seat wear. Figure 31.7 shows typical intake valve and seat wear. Refer to Figure 31.7, typical intake valve seat wear. Refer to Figure 31.8, carbon deposits on the intake valve are often caused by oil getting past the valve stems or fuel deposits. Carbon deposits: if there is a large clearance between the valve stem and guide or faulty valve stem seals, too much oil will go down the stem. This will increase deposits, as shown on the intake valve in Figure 31.8. In addition, a large valve guide clearance will allow the valve to cock or lean sideways, especially with the effect of the rocker arm action. Continued cocking keeps the valve from seating properly and causes it to leak, burning the valve face. See Figure 31.9. Sometimes, the cylinder head will warp slightly as the head is tightened to the block deck during assembly. In other cases, heating and cooling will cause warpage. When head warpage causes valve guide and seat misalignment, the valve cannot seat properly and it will leak, burning the valve face. Excessive temperatures: high valve temperatures occur when the valve does not seat properly. Root causes include the following. 1. Cooling system passages in the head may be partially blocked by faulty casting or by deposits built up from the coolant. A corroded head gasket will change the coolant flow. This can cause overheating when the coolant is allowed to flow to the wrong places. 2. Extremely high temperatures are also produced by pre-ignition and by detonation. These conditions are the result of abnormal combustion. Both of these produce a very rapid increase in temperature that can cause uneven heating. The rapid increase in temperature will give a thermal shock to the valve. A thermal shock is a sudden change in temperature. The shock will often cause radial cracks in the valve. The cracks will allow the combustion gases to escape and gutter the valve face. See Figure 31.10. Refer to Figure 31.9. Excessive wear of the valve stem or guide can cause the valve to seat in a cocked position. Refer to Figure 31.10, valve face guttering caused by thermal shock. Valve seat erosion: valve seats can wear, especially in engines that were designed for use with leaded gasoline, prior to 1975. Without lead, the valve movement against the seat tears away tiny iron oxide particles during engine operation. The valve movement causes these particles of iron oxide to act like valve grinding compound, cutting into the valve seat surface. As the valve seat is eroded, the valve recedes further into the cylinder head. When the valve seat erodes, the valve lash decreases. This can lead to valve burning because the valve may not close all the way. High-velocity seating. High-velocity seating is indicated by excessive valve face wear, valve seat recession, and impact failure. Refer to Figure 3111. Note the broken piston caused by a valve breaking from the stem. Impact breakage may occur under the valve head or at the valve keeper grooves. The brake lines radiate from the starting point. Impact breakage may also cause the valve head to fall into the combustion chamber. In most cases, it will ruin the piston before the engine can be stopped. This situation causes catastrophic engine damage and is described in the field by several terms, including sucking a valve, dropping a valve, and swallowing a valve. See Figure 3111. Valve springs. Purpose and function. A valve spring holds the valve against the seat when the valve is not being opened. One end of the valve spring is seated against the head. The other end of the spring is attached under compression to the valve stem through a valve spring retainer and a valve spring keeper, or lock. See Figure 3112. Spring materials and design. Valves usually have a single inexpensive valve spring. The springs are generally made of chromium vanadium alloy steel. When one spring cannot control the valve, another spring or damper is added. Some valve springs use a flat coiled damper inside the spring. The damper helps to reduce valve seat wear. This eliminates spring surge and adds some valve spring tension. The normal valve spring winds up as it is compressed. This causes a small, but important, turning motion as the valve closes on the seat. The turning motion helps to keep the wear even around the valve face. See Figure 3113. Multiple valve springs are used where large camshaft lobe lifts are required and a single spring does not have enough strength to control the valve. If dual coil springs are wrapped in the same direction, they are used for extra tension. If the inner spring or flat damper is wrapped in the opposite direction, it is used as a damper to control spring oscillations. This is done to control valve spring surge and to prevent excessive valve rotation. These are sometimes called surge dampers. Valve spring surge is the tendency of a valve spring to vibrate. Refer to Figure 3112. A retainer and two split keepers hold the spring in place on the valve. A separate metal washer is used on aluminum heads. Otherwise, the spring seat is a machined area in the head. Tech tip. Valve seat recession and engine performance. If unleaded fuel is used in an engine without hardened valve seats, valve seat recession is likely to occur over time. Without removing the cylinder heads, how can a technician identify valve seat recession? As the valve seat wears up into the cylinder head, the valve itself also is located further up in the head. As this wear occurs, the valve clearance, or lash, decreases. If hydraulic lifters are used on the engine, this wear will go undetected until the reduction in valve clearance finally removes all clearance, or bottoms out, in the lifter. When this occurs, the valve does not seat fully, and compression, power, and fuel economy are drastically reduced. With the valve not closing completely, the valve cannot release its heat and will burn or begin to melt. If the valve burns, the engine will miss and not idle smoothly. If solid lifters are used on the engine, the decrease in valve clearance will first show up as a rough idle only when the engine is hot. As the valve seat recedes farther into the head, low power, rough idle, poor performance, and lower fuel economy will be noticed sooner than if the engine were equipped with hydraulic lifters. To summarize, refer to the following symptoms as valve seat recession occurs. 1. Valve lash, or clearance, decreases, valves are not noisy. 2. The engine idles roughly when hot as a result of reduced valve clearance. 3. Missing occurs, and the engine exhibits low power and poor fuel economy, along with a rough idle, as the valve seat recedes farther into the head. 4. As valves burn, the engine continues to run poorly. The symptoms include difficulty in starting, hot and cold engine, backfiring, and low engine power. Note, if valve lash is adjustable, valve burning can be prevented by adjusting the valve lash regularly. Remember, as the seat recedes, the valve itself recedes, which decreases the valve clearance. Many technicians do not think to adjust valves unless they are noisy. If, during the valve adjustment procedure, a decrease in valve lash is noticed, then valve seat recession could be occurring. Refer to Figure 3113, valve spring types, left to right, coil spring with equally spaced coils, spring with damper inside spring coil, closely spaced spring with a damper, taper wound coil spring. Refer to Figure 3114, valve springs maintain tension in the valve train when the valve is open to prevent valve float, but must not exert so much tension that the cam lobes and lifters begin to wear. Frequently asked question. What is valve float? Valve float occurs when the valve continues to stay open after the camshaft lobe has moved from under the lifter. This happens when the inertia of the valve train overcomes the valve spring tension at high engine speeds. Valve float is less likely to occur on overhead camshaft engines compared to cam and block designs. See Figure 31.14. Refer to Figure 31.15. All valve springs should be checked for squareness by using a square on a flat surface and rotating the spring while checking. The spring should be replaced if more than 1/16 of an inch, or 1.6 mm, is measured between the top of the spring and the square. Variable rate springs, also called progressive rate or variable pitch springs, have uneven spacing between the coils. Where non-progressive rate, or linear, valve springs provide the same rate, through all heights, a variable rate valve spring has a different spring rate, depending on how much it is compressed. One advantage of using a variable rate spring is that it provides a low seat pressure and still provides the rate needed for high lift camshaft designs. This type of spring is used to help control valve surge. Valve spring inspection. Valve springs close the valves after they have been opened by the cam. They must close squarely to form a tight seal and to prevent valve stem and guide wear. It is necessary, therefore, that the springs be square and have the proper amount of closing force. The valve springs are checked for squareness by rotating them on a flat surface with a square held against the side. They should be within 1/16 of an inch, or 1.6 mm, of being square. Out of square springs will have to be replaced. See Figure 31.15. Only the springs that are square should be checked to determine their compressed force. The surge damper is often specified to be removed from the valve spring when the spring force is being checked. Check service information for the exact procedure to follow for the engine being checked. A valve spring scale is used to measure the valve spring force at a specific height measurement. See Figure 31.16. Another type uses a torque wrench on a lever system to measure the valve spring force. Valve springs are checked for the following. 1. Free height, or length, without being compressed, should be within 1/16 of an inch of specifications. 2. Pressure with valve closed and height as per specifications. 3. Pressure with valve open and height as per specifications. Most specifications allow for variations of plus or minus 10% from the published figures. Refer to Figure 31.16. One popular type of valve spring tester used to measure the compressed force of valve springs. Specifications usually include 1. Free height, or height without being compressed, 2. Pressure at installed height with the valve closed, and 3. Pressure with the valve open to the height specified. Valve keepers and rotators. Valve keepers, or locks, are used on the end of the valve stem to retain the spring. The inside surfaces of the keeper use a variety of grooves or beads. The design depends on the holding requirements. The outside of the keeper fits into a cone-shaped seat in the center of the valve spring retainer. See Figure 31.17. Valve rotators. Some valve spring retainers have built-in devices called valve rotators. They cause the valve to rotate in a controlled manner as it is opened. The purposes and functions of valve rotators include the following. Help prevent carbon buildup from forming by providing a wiping action of the valve face. Reduce hot spots on the valves by constantly turning them. Help to even out the wear on the valve face and seat. Improve valve guide lubrication. The two types of valve rotators are free and positive. Free rotators simply take the pressure off the valve to allow engine vibration to rotate the valve. See Figure 31.18. Positive rotators use the force of the valve opening to rotate the valve. One type uses small steel balls and a slight ramp to cause the valve to rotate. Each ball moves down its ramp to turn the rotator sections as the valve opens. A second type uses a coil spring. The spring lies down as the valve opens. This action turns the rotator body in relation to the collar. Valve rotators are only used when it is desirable to increase the valve service life, because rotors cost more than plain retainers. See Figure 31.19. Refer to Figure 31.17. Valve keepers, also called locks, are tapered so they wedge into a tapered hole in the retainer. Refer to Figure 31.18. Notice that there is no gap between the two keepers, or ends butted together. As a result, the valve is free to rotate because the retainer applies a force, holding the keepers in place, but not tight, against the stem of the valve. Most engines, however, do not use free rotators and, therefore, have a gap between the keepers. Valve reconditioning procedure. After proper cleaning, inspection, and measurement procedures have been completed, valve reconditioning, usually called a valve job, can be performed using the following sequence. Step 1. The valve stem is lightly ground and chamfered. This step helps to ensure that the valve will rest in the collet, holder of the valve stem during valve grinding, of the valve grinder correctly. This process is often called truing the valve tip. Step 2. The face of the valve is ground to the proper angle using a valve grinder. Step 3. The valve seat is ground in the head. The seat must be matched to the valve that will be used in that position. Step 4. Valve spring installed height and valve stem height are checked and corrected as necessary. Step 5. After a thorough cleaning, the cylinder head should be assembled with new valve stem seals installed. Refer to Figure 3119, Type of Valve Rotator Operation. Ball type operation is on the left and spring type operation is on the right. Valve face grinding. Purpose and function. Each valve grinder operates somewhat differently. The operation manual that comes with the grinder should be followed for lubrication, adjustment, and specific operating procedures. The general procedures given in the following paragraphs apply to all valve resurfacer equipment. Set the grinder head at the valve face angle as specified by the vehicle manufacturer. Refer to Figure 3120, Resurfacing the Face of a Valve. Both the valve and the grinder stone or disc are turned to ensure a smooth surface finish on the face of the valve. Caution: safety glasses should always be worn for valve and seat reconditioning work. During grinding operations, fine hot chips fly from the grinding stones. Note: some valve grinders use the end of the valve to center the valve while grinding. If the tip of the valve is not square with the stem, the face of the valve may be ground improperly. The valve stem is clamped in the workhead as close to the fillet under the valve head as possible to prevent vibrations. The workhead motor is turned on to rotate the valve. The wheel head motor is turned on to rotate the grinding wheel. The coolant flow is adjusted to flush the material away, but not so much that it splashes. For best results, perform the following. The rotating grinding wheel is fed slowly to the rotating valve face. Light grinding is done as the valve is moved back and forth across the grinding wheel face. Do not feed the valve into the grinding stone more than 0.001 to 0.002 of an inch at one time. The valve is never moved off the edge of the grinding wheel. It is ground only enough to clean the face. See Figure 3120. Margin. The margin is the distance between the head of the valve and the seat of the value. This distance should be 0.03 of an inch, or 0.8 millimeters. Some vehicle manufacturers specify a minimum margin of less than 0.03 of an inch for some engines, especially for intake valves. Always check service information for the exact specifications for the engine being serviced. See Figure 3121. Refer to Figure 3121. Never use a valve that has been ground to a sharp edge. This weakens the valve and increases the chance of valve face burning. Tech tip: grinding the valves for more power. A normal valve job includes grinding the face of the valve to clean up any pits and grinding the valve stems to restore the proper stem height. However, a little more airflow in and out of the cylinder head can be accomplished by performing two more simple grinding operations. Use the valve grinder and adjust to 30 degrees, for a 45 degree valve, and grind a transition between the valve face and the valve stem area of the valve. While this step may reduce some desirable swirling of the air-fuel mixture at lower engine speeds, it also helps increase cylinder filling, especially at times when the valve is not fully open. Chamfer or round the head of the valve between the top of the valve and the margin on the side. By rounding this surface, additional airflow into the cylinder is achieved. See Figure 3122. Note: to help visualize a 0.030 of an inch margin, note that this dimension is equal to about 1/32 of an inch or the thickness of a US dime. Intake valves can usually perform satisfactorily with a margin less than 0.030 of an inch. Always check the engine manufacturer's specifications for the cylinder being serviced. Aluminized valves will lose their corrosion resistance properties when ground. For satisfactory service, aluminized valves must be replaced if they require refacing. Valve seat reconditioning. Purpose and function: the valve seats are reconditioned at the following times. After the cylinder head has been properly cleaned, resurfaced, and the valve guides have been resized or reconditioned. When the valve guides have been replaced, the final valve seat width and position are checked with the valve that is to be used on the seat being reconditioned. Refer to Figure 3122. After grinding the 45 degree face angle, Additional airflow into the engine can be accomplished by grinding a transition between the face angle and the stem, and by angling or rounding the transition between the margin and the top of the valve. Refer to Figure 31.23. Grinding a 45-degree angle establishes the valve seat in the combustion chamber. Valve seat angles. Valve seats will have a normal seat angle of either 45 or 30 degrees. 45 degrees. This is the most commonly used, and the narrow 45-degree valve seats will crush carbon deposits to prevent buildup of deposits on the seat. The valve heat will transfer to the seat and cylinder head. 30 degrees. Usually used on intake valves only. The 30-degree valve seat is more likely to burn than a 45-degree seat because some deposits can build up to keep the valve from seating properly. The 30-degree valve seat will, however, allow more gas flow than a 45-degree valve seat when both are open to the same amount of lift. See Figure 31.23. Interference angle. Ideally, the valve face and valve seat should have exactly the same angle. This is impossible, especially on exhaust valves, because the valve head becomes much hotter than the seat, so the valve expands more than the seat. This expansion causes the hot valve to contact the seat in a different place on the valve than it did when it was cold. As a result of its shape, the valve does not expand evenly when heated. This uneven expansion also affects the way in which the hot valve contacts the seat. In valve and valve seat reconditioning, the valve is often ground with a face angle 1 degree less than the seat angle to compensate for the change in hot seating. This angle is called an interference angle. It makes a positive seal at the combustion chamber edge of the seat when the engine is first started after a valve job. As the engine operates, the valve will pin itself on the seat. In a short time, it will make a matched seal. After a few thousand miles, the valve will have formed its own seat. The interference angle has another benefit. The valve and seat are reconditioned with different machines. Each machine must have its angle set before it is used for reconditioning. It is nearly impossible to set the exact same angles on both valve and seat reconditioning machines. Making an interference angle will ensure that any slight angle difference favors a tight seal at the combustion chamber edge of the valve seat when the valve servicing has been completed. See Figure 31.24. Refer to Figure 31.24. Some vehicle manufacturers recommend that the valve face be resurfaced at a 44-degree angle and the valve seat at a 45-degree angle. This 1-degree difference is known as the interference angle. Valve seat width. As the valve seats are resurfaced, their widths increase. The resurfaced seats must be narrowed to make the seat width correct and to position the seat properly on the valve face. The normal automotive engine cylinder head valve seat is from 1/16 to 3/32 of an inch, or 1.5 to 2.5 millimeters, wide. There should be at least 1/32 of an inch, or 0.8 millimeters, of the ground valve face extending above the seat, called overhang. Some manufacturers recommend having the valve seat contact the middle of the valve face. In all cases, the valve seat width and the contact with the valve face match the manufacturer's specifications. See Figure 31.25. Refer to Figure 31.25. The seat must contact evenly around the valve face. For good service life, both margin and overhang should be at least 1/32 of an inch, or 0.8 millimeters. Refer to Figure 31.26. Grinding a 60-degree angle removes metal from the bottom to raise and narrow the seat. Three-angle valve job. A three-angle valve job means that the valve seats are ground three times. The first angle is the angle of the valve seat specified by the vehicle manufacturer, usually 45 degrees. The second angle uses a 60-degree stone or cutter to remove material right below the valve seat to increase flow in or out of the combustion chamber. This angle is called the throating angle. See Figure 31.26. The third angle uses a 30-degree stone or cutter to smooth the transition between the valve seat and the cylinder head, again to increase flow in or out of the combustion chamber. This angle is called the topping angle. See Figure 31.27. The three stones or cutters can be used in combination to create the desired seat width and where it contacts the face of the valve. The 60-degree throating stone will rise and narrow the seat. The 45-degree stone will widen the seat, and the 30-degree stone will lower and narrow the seat. See Figure 31.28. Refer to Figure 31.27. Grinding a 30-degree angle removes metal from the top to lower and narrow the seat. Refer to Figure 31.28. A typical three-angle valve job using 30, 45, and 60-degree stones or cutters. Valve guide pilots. Types of pilots. Valve seat reconditioning equipment uses a pilot in the valve guide to align the stone holder or cutter in the exact same location as the valve stem. This ensures accurate valve seat to valve face sealing. Two types of pilots used include: tapered pilots locate themselves in the least worn section of the guide. They are made in standard sizes and in oversize increments of 0.001 of an inch, usually up to 0.004 of an inch OS. The largest pilot that will fit into the guide is used for valve seat reconditioning. This type of pilot restores the seat to be as close to the original position as possible when used with worn valve guides. See Figure 31.29. Expandable pilots used with seating equipment are of two types. One type of adjustable pilot expands in the center of the guide to fit like a tapered pilot. The other type expands to contact the ends of the guide where there has been the greatest wear. The valve itself will align in the same way as the pilot. Note, if the guide is not reconditioned, the valve will match the seat when an expandable pilot is used. The pilot and guide should be thoroughly cleaned. Refer to Figure 31.29, a valve guide pilot being used to support a valve seat cutter. Valve seat grinding stones. Types of stones: three basic types of grinding stones are used. All are used dry. A roughing stone is used to rapidly remove large amounts of seat metal. This would be necessary on a badly pitted seat or when installing new valve seat inserts. The roughing stone is sometimes called a seat forming stone. After the seat forming stone, a finishing stone is used to put the proper finish on the seat. The finishing stone is also used to recondition cast iron seats that are only slightly worn. Hard seat stones are used on hard Stellite exhaust seat inserts. Note: Stellite is a non-magnetic hard alloy used for valve seats in heavy-duty applications. The stone diameter and face angle must be correct. The diameter of the stone must be larger than the valve head, but it must be small enough that it does not contact the edge of the combustion chamber. The angle of the grinding surface of the stone must be correct for the seat. When an interference angle is used with reground valves, it is common practice to use a seat with a standard seat angle. The interference angle is ground on the valve face. In some cases, such as with an aluminized valve, the valve has the standard angle and the seat is ground to give the interference angle. The required seat angle must be determined before the seat grinding stone is dressed. Dressing the grinding stone: the selected grinding stone is installed on the stone holder. The holder and grinding stone assembly are rotated with the driver. The diamond is adjusted so that it just touches the stone face. The diamond dressing tool is moved slowly across the face of the spinning stone, taking a very light cut. Dressing the stone in this way will give it a clean, sharp cutting surface. It is necessary to redress the stone at the following times. Each time a stone is placed on a holder. At the beginning of each valve job. Any time the stone is not cutting smoothly and cleanly while grinding valve seats. Refer to Figure 31.30, checking valve seat concentricity using a dial indicator. Grinding the valve seat: the typical procedure includes the following steps. Step 1, the valve seat should be cleaned before grinding. This keeps the grinding dust from filling the grinding stone. Step 2, the pilot is then placed in the valve guide. A drop of oil is placed on the end of the pilot to lubricate the holder. Step 3, the holder, with the dressed grinding stone, is placed over the pilot. The driver should be supported so that no driver weight is on the holder. This allows the stone abrasive and the metal chips to fly out from between the stone and seat to give fast, smooth grinding. Step 4, grinding is done in short bursts, such as 2 to 3 seconds each burst. Check to see if the seat is properly ground at the end of each burst. This procedure helps prevent the seat from being ground too deep. Step 5, the holder and stone should be lifted from the seat between each grinding burst to check the condition of the seat. The finished seat should be bright and smooth across the entire surface, with no pits or roughness remaining. Some of the induction hardness from the exhaust valve seat may extend over into the intake seat. It may be necessary to apply a slight pressure on the driver toward the hardened spot to form a concentric seat. Step 6, check the seat with a dial indicator gauge to make sure that it is concentric within 0.002 of an inch, or 0.05 millimeters, before the seat is finished. The dial gauge measurement of the valve seat is very important. The maximum acceptable variation is 0.002 of an inch, called the total indicator runout, or TIR, of the valve seat. See Figures 31.30 and 31.31. Narrowing the valve seat: the valve seat becomes wider as it is ground. It is therefore necessary to narrow the seat so that it will contact the valve properly. The seat is topped with a grinding stone dressed to 15 degrees less than the seat angle. Therefore, use a 30-degree stone to narrow a 45-degree seat angle. A 15-degree stone for a 30-degree seat angle. Topping lowers the top edge of the seat. The amount of topping required can best be checked by measuring the maximum valve face diameter using dividers. The dividers are then adjusted to a setting 1/16 inch smaller to give the minimum valve face overhang. The seat is measured and then topped with short grinding bursts, as required, to equal the diameter set on the dividers. The seat width is then measured. If it is too wide, the seat must be throated with a stone with a 60-degree angle. This removes metal from the port side of the seat, raising the lower edge of the seat. Generally accepted seat widths are as follows. For intake valves, 1/16 of an inch, or 0.0625 of an inch, about the thickness of a nickel, or 1.5 millimeters, for exhaust valves, 3/32 of an inch, or 0.0938 of an inch, about the thickness of a dime and a nickel together, or 2.4 millimeters, the completed seat must be checked with the valve that is to be used on the seat. This can be done using lapping compound or by marking across the valve face at 4 or 5 places with a felt tip marker. The valve is then inserted in the guide so that the valve face contacts the seat. The valve is rotated 20 to 30 degrees and then removed. The location of the seat contact on the valve is observed where the felt tip marking has been rubbed off the valve. Valve seating can be seen in Figure 31-32. Valve seat grinding is complete when each of the valve seats has been properly ground, topped, and throated. To summarize, using a 30-degree topping stone for a 45-degree seat lowers the upper outer edge and narrows the seat. Using a 60-degree throating stone raises the lower inner edge and narrows the seat. Using a 45-degree stone widens the seat. Refer Figure 31-31, typical dial indicator type of micrometer for measuring valve seat concentricity. Refer to Figure 31-32, after the valve face and the valve seat are ground, or reconditioned, lapping compound is used to smooth the contact area between the two mating surfaces. Notice that the contact is toward the top of the face. For maximum life, the contact should be in the middle of the face. Refer to Figure 31-33, a cutter is used to remove metal and form the valve seat angles. Valve seat cutters. Some vehicle manufacturers and automotive service technicians recommend the use of valve seat cutters, rather than valve seat grinders. See Figure 31-33. The valve seats can be reconditioned to commercial standards in much less time when using the cutters, rather than the grinders. The advantages of using a seat cutter compared to a grinding stone include: a number of cutting blades are secured at the correct seat angle in the cutting head of this valve seat reconditioning tool. The cutter angle usually includes the interference angle so that new valves with standard valve face angles can be used without grinding the new valve face. The cutters do not require dressing as stones do. The cutter is rotated by hand or by using a special speed reduction motor. Only metal chips are produced. The finished seat is checked for concentricity and fit against the valve face. Caution: a cutter should only be rotated clockwise. If a cutter is rotated counterclockwise, damage to the cutting surfaces ruins the cutter. Valve seat testing. Purpose: after the valves have been refaced and the guides and valve seats have been resurfaced, the valves should be inspected for proper sealing and to ensure that the valve seat is concentric with the valve face. Methods: following are methods often used to check valve face to seat concentricity and valve seating. 1. Vacuum testing can be done by applying vacuum to the intake and/or exhaust port using a tight rubber seal and a vacuum pump. A good valve face to seat seal is indicated by maintaining at least 28 inches mercury of vacuum. This method also tests for leakage around the valve guides. Put some engine oil around the guides. If vacuum increases, valve guides may have excessive clearance. 2. The ports or chamber can be filled with mineral spirits or some other suitable fluid. A good seal should not leak fluid for at least 45 seconds. 3. Valve seating can be checked by applying air pressure to the combustion chamber and checking for air leakage past the valve seat. 4. The valves can be lapped using valve grinding compound and looking at the parting line between the valve face on the valve and the valve seat in the cylinder head. Valve seat replacement. Purpose: valve seats need to be replaced if they are cracked or if they are burned or eroded too much to be reground. See Figure 31-34. It may not be possible to determine whether a valve seat needs to be replaced before an attempt is made to recondition the valve seat. Valve seat replacement is accomplished by using a pilot in the valve guide. This means that the valve guide must be reconditioned before the seat can be replaced. Tech tip: the MIG welder seat removal trick. A quick and easy method to remove insert valve seats is to use a metal inert gas, or MIG, welder, also called a gas metal arc welder, or GMAW. After the valve has been removed, use the MIG welder and lay a welding bead around the seat area of the insert. As the weld cools, it shrinks and allows the insert to be easily removed from the cylinder head. The weld bead also provides a surface that can be used to pry the seat from the cylinder head. Figure 31-34. All aluminum cylinder heads use valve seat inserts. If an integral valve seat, or cast iron head, is worn, it can be replaced with a replacement valve seat by machining a pocket, or counterbore, to make a place for the new insert seat. Damaged insert valve seats are removed and the seat counterbore is cleaned to accept a new oversized seat insert. Damaged integral valve seats must be counterbored to make a place for the new insert seat. Insert seat removal methods. The old insert seat is removed by one of several methods. A small pry bar can be used to snap the seat from the counterbore. It is sometimes easier to do this if the old seat is drilled to weaken it. Be careful not to drill into the head material. Sometimes, an expandable hook-type puller is used to remove the seat insert. See the tech tip, the MIG welder seat removal trick. The seat counterbore must be cleaned before the new, oversized seat is installed. The replacement inserts have a 0.002 to 0.003 of an inch, or 0.05 to 0.07 millimeters, interference fit in the counterbore. The counterbores are cleaned and properly sized, using the same equipment described in the following paragraph for installing replacement seats in place of faulty integral valve seats. Types of valve seats. If an insert is being replaced, the new insert must be of the same type of material as the original insert or better. Insert exhaust valve seats operate at temperatures that are 100 degrees Fahrenheit to 150 degrees Fahrenheit, or 37 degrees Celsius to 66 degrees Celsius, hotter than those of integral seats up to 900 degrees Fahrenheit, or 482 degrees Celsius. Upgraded valve and valve seat materials are required to give the same service life as that of the original seats. Removable valve seats are available in different materials, including cast iron, stainless steel, nickel cobalt, or powdered metal. Figure 31-35, insert valve seats are rings of metal driven into the head. Replacing an integral valve seat, a counterbore cutting tool is selected that will cut the correct diameter for the outside of the insert. The diameter of the bore is smaller than the outside diameter of the seat insert. The procedure usually includes the following steps. Step 1. The cutting tool is positioned securely in the tool holder so that it will cut the counterbore at the correct diameter. Step 2. The tool holder is attached to the size of pilot that fits the valve guide. The tool holder feed mechanism is screwed together so that it has enough threads to properly feed the cutter into the head. This assembly is placed in the valve guide so that the cutting tool rests on the seat that is to be removed. Step 3. The new insert is placed between the support fixture and the stop ring. The stop ring is adjusted against the new insert so that cutting will stop when the counterbore reaches the depth of the new insert. Step 4. The boring tool is turned by hand or with a reduction gear motor drive. It cuts until the stop ring reaches the fixture. Step 5. The support fixture and the tool holder are removed. The pilot and the correct size of adapter are placed on the driving tool. Step 6. The seats should be cooled with dry ice to cause them to shrink. Each insert should be left in the dry ice until it is to be installed. This will allow it to be installed with little chance of metal being sheared from the counterbore. Sheared chips could become jammed under the insert, keeping it from seating properly. The chilled seat is placed on the counterbore. Step 7. The driver with a pilot is then quickly placed in the valve guide so that the seat will be driven squarely into the counterbore. The driver is hit with a heavy hammer to seat the insert. Step 8. Heavy blows are used to start the insert, and lighter blows are used as the seat reaches the bottom of the counterbore. Step 9. The installed valve seat insert is pinned in place by running a pinning tool around the metal on the outside of the seat. The pinned metal is slightly displaced over the edge of the insert to help hold it in place. Tech tip. Use the recommended specifications. A technician replaced valve seat inserts in an aluminum cylinder head. The factory specification called for a 0.002 of an inch interference fit. The insert should be 0.002 of an inch larger in diameter than the seat pocket in the cylinder head. Shortly after the engine was started, the seat fell out, ruining the engine. The technician should have used the interference fit specification supplied with the replacement seat insert. Interference fit specifications depend on the type of material used to make the insert. Some inserts for aluminum heads require as much as 0.007 of an inch interference fit. Always refer to the specification from the manufacturer of the valve inserts when replacing valve seats and aluminum cylinder heads. Refer to Figure 31-36, valve stem height is measured from the spring seat to the tip of the valve after the valve seat and valve face have been refinished. If the valve stem height is too high, up to 0.020 of an inch, can be ground from the tips of most valves. Valve stem height. Definition: valve stem height is the distance the valve stem is above the spring seat. Valve stem height is a different measurement from installed height. See Figure 31-36. Valve stem height is important to maintain for all engines, but especially for overhead camshaft engines. When the valve seat and the valve face are ground, the valve stem extends deeper into the combustion chamber and extends higher or farther into the cylinder head. The valve is put in the head, and the length from the tip to the valve spring seat is measured. The tip is ground to shorten the valve stem length to compensate for the valve face and seat grinding. The valve will not close if the valve tip extends too far from the valve guide on engines that have hydraulic lifters and non-adjustable rocker arms. If the valve is too long, the tip may be ground by as much as 0.020 of an inch, or half a millimeter, to reduce its length. If more grinding is required, the valve must be replaced. If it is too short, the valve face or seat may be reground, within limits, to allow the valve to seat deeper. Where excessive valve face and seat grinding has been done, shims can be placed under the rocker shaft on some engines as a repair to provide correct hydraulic lifter plunger centering. These shims must have the required lubrication holes to allow oil to enter the shaft. Refer to Figure 31-37. Installed height is determined by measuring the distance from the spring seat to the bottom of the valve spring retainer. Installed height. Definition: installed height is the distance between the valve spring seat and the underside of the valve spring retainer. When the valves and/or valve seats have been machined, the valve projects farther than before on the rocker arm side of the head. The valve face is slightly recessed into the combustion chamber side of the head. The valve spring tension is, therefore, reduced because the spring is not as compressed as it was originally. Correcting installed height: to restore original valve spring tension, special valve spring spacers, inserts, or shims are installed under the valve springs. These shims are usually called valve spring inserts, or VSI. Valve spring inserts are generally available in three different thicknesses: 0.015 of an inch, or 0.38 millimeters, used for balancing valve spring pressure; 0.03 of an inch, or 0.75 millimeters, generally used for new springs on cylinder heads that have had the valve seats ground and valves refaced; 0.06 of an inch, or 1.5 millimeters. Necessary to bring assembled height to specifications, these thicker inserts may be required if the seats have been resurfaced more than once. Step 1. To determine the exact thickness of insert to install, measure the valve spring installed height. See Figure 31-37. Step 2. If the installed height is greater than specifications, select the valve spring insert, or shim, that brings the installed height to within specifications. Be sure to install the valve spring inserts with the grooves facing toward the cylinder head. These are used to allow air to flow between the cylinder and the insert to help insulate the valve springs. Most inserts are labeled with the message, "this side up," which means toward the valve spring. See Figure 31-38. Caution: do not use more than one valve spring insert. If the correct installed height cannot be achieved using one insert, replace the valve seat to restore the proper installed height. Refer to Figure 31-38. Valve spring inserts are used to restore proper installed height. Refer to Figure 31-39. Engine vacuum can draw oil past the valve guides and into the combustion chamber. The use of valve stem seals limits the amount of oil that is drawn into the engine. If the seals are defective, excessive blue, oil, smoke is most often observed during engine startup. Valve stem seals. Purpose and function: leakage past the valve guides is a major oil consumption problem in any overhead valve or overhead cam engine. A high vacuum exists in the intake port, as shown in Figure 31-39. Most engine manufacturers use valve stem seals on the exhaust valve, because a weak vacuum in the exhaust port area can draw oil into the exhaust stream, as illustrated in Figure 31-40. Valve stem seals are used on overhead valve engines to control the amount of oil used to lubricate the valve stem as it moves in the guide. The stem and guide will scuff if they do not have enough oil. Too much oil will cause excessive oil consumption and will cause heavy carbon deposits to build up on the spark plug nose and on the valves. Refer to Figure 31-40. Engine oil can also be drawn past the exhaust valve guide because of a small vacuum created by the flow of exhaust gases. Any oil drawn past the guide would simply be forced out through the exhaust system and not enter the engine. Some engine manufacturers do not use valve stem seals on the exhaust valves. Types of valve stem seals. The types of valve stem seals include the following. The umbrella valve stem seal holds tightly on the valve stem and moves up and down with the valve. Any oil that spills off the rocker arms is deflected out over the valve guide, much as water is deflected over an umbrella. As a result, umbrella valve stem seals are often called deflector valve stem seals. See Figure 3141. The O-ring valve stem seal used on Chevrolet engines keeps oil from leaking between the valve stem and valve spring retainer. The oil is deflected over the retainer and shield. The assembly controls oil like an umbrella-type oil seal. Both types of valve stem seals allow only the correct amount of oil to reach the valve guide to lubricate the valve stem. The rest of the oil flows back to the oil pan. See Figure 3142. Positive valve stem seals hold tightly around the valve guide, and the valve stem moves through the seal. The Teflon wiping ring wipes the excess oil from the valve stem. See Figures 3143 and 3144. Valve seal materials. Valve stem seals are made from many different types of materials. They may be made from nylon or Teflon, but most valve stem seals are made from synthetic rubber. Three types of synthetic rubbers are in common use. They are nitrile, polyacrylate, and vitin. Refer to Figure 3141, umbrella seals install over the valve stems and cover the guide. Refer to Figure 3142, a small square cut O-ring is installed under the retainer in a groove and the valve under the grooves used for the keepers, or locks. Nitrile is the oldest valve stem seal material. It has a low cost and a low useful temperature. Engine temperatures have increased with increased emission controls and improved efficiencies, which made it necessary to use premium polyacrylate, even with its higher cost. In many cases, it is being retrofit to the older engines because it will last much longer than nitrile. Diesel engines and engines used for racing, heavy trucks, and trailer towing, along with turbocharging, operate at still higher temperatures. These engines may require expensive vitin valve stem seals that operate at higher temperatures. See Figure 3145. Refer to Figure 3143. Positive valve stem seals are the most effective type because they remain stationary on the valve guide and wipe the oil from the stem as the valve moves up and down. Refer to Figure 3144. The positive valve stem seal is installed on the valve guide. Refer to Figure 3145. An assortment of shapes, colors, and materials of positive valve stem seals. Tech tip. Purchase engine parts from a known manufacturer. It is interesting to note that an automotive service technician cannot tell the difference between these synthetic rubber valve stem seals if they have come out of the same mold for the same engine. Often suppliers that package gasket sets for sale at a low price will include low temperature nitrile, even when the engine needs higher temperature polyacrylate. The best chances of getting the correct valve stem seal material for an engine is to purchase gaskets and seals packaged by a major brand gasket company. Tech tip. Check before bolting it on. Using new assembled cylinder heads, whether aluminum or cast iron, is a popular engine build-up option. However, experience has shown that metal shavings and casting sand are often found inside the passages. Before bolting on these ready-to-install heads, disassemble them and clean all passages. Often machined shavings are found under the valves. If this debris were to get into the engine, the results would be extreme wear or damage to the pistons, rings, block, and bearings. This cleaning may take several hours. But how much is your engine worth? Installing the valves. Procedure: assembling a cylinder head includes the following steps. Step 1. Clean the reconditioned cylinder head thoroughly with soap and water to wash away any remaining grit and metal shavings from the valve grinding operation. Step 2. Valves are assembled in the head, one at a time. The valve guide and stem are given a liberal coating of engine oil, and the valve is installed in its guide. Install the valve spring seat if assembling an aluminum head. See Figure 3146. Step 3. Umbrella or positive valve stem seals are installed. Push umbrella seals down until they touch the valve guide. Use a plastic sleeve over the tip of the valve when installing positive seals to prevent damage to the seal lip. Make sure that the positive seal is fully seated on the valve guide and that it is square. Step 4. Hold the valve against the seat as the valve spring seat or insert, valve spring, valve seal, and retainer are placed over the valve stem. One end of the valve spring compressor pushes on the retainer to compress the spring. Step 5. The O-ring type of valve stem seal, if used, is installed in the lower groove. The valve keepers are installed while the valve spring is compressed. Using grease helps to keep them attached to the valve stem as the valve spring compressor is released. Step 6, release the valve spring compressor slowly and carefully while making sure that the valve keepers seat properly between the valve stem grooves and the retainer. See Figure 3147. Refer to Figure 3146. A metal valve spring seat must be used between the valve spring and the aluminum cylinder head. Many Chrysler aluminum cylinder heads use a combination valve spring seat and valve stem seal. Refer to Figure 3147, assembling a race engine using a heavy-duty valve spring compressor. Installing a new valve seat. Step 1, after the valve guide has been replaced or checked for being within specification, insert a pilot into the valve guide. Step 2, level the bubble on the pilot by moving the cylinder head, which is clamped to a seat or guide machine. Step 3, select the proper valve seat for the application. Consult the manufacturer's literature for recommendations. Step 4, select the correct cutter and check that the cutting bits are sharp. Step 5, carefully measure the exact outside diameter, or OD, of the valve seat. Step 6, adjust the diameter of the cutter bit to achieve the specified interference fit for the valve seat. Step 7, install the pilot into the valve guide to support the seat cutter. Step 8, install the seat cutter onto the pilot. Step 9, adjust the depth of cut, using the new valve seat to set it to the same depth as the thickness of the seat. Step 10, with the cylinder head still firmly attached to the seat and guide machine, start the cutter motor and cut the head until it reaches the stop. Step 11, the finished cut valve seat pocket. Be sure to use a vacuum to remove all of the metal shavings from the cutting operation. Step 12, place the chilled valve seat over the pilot being sure that the chamfer is facing toward the head as shown. Step 13, install the correct size driver onto the valve seat. Step 14, using the air hammer or press, press the valve seat into the valve pocket. Step 15, a new valve seat is now ready to be machined or cut. Review questions. Question 1. What is the procedure for grinding valves? Question 2. When is the valve tip ground? How do you know how much to remove from the tip? Question 3. What is an interference angle between the valve and the seat? Question 4. How is a valve seat insert installed? Question 5. How are the correct valve spring inserts, shims, selected and why are they used? Chapter Quiz. Question 1. In a normally operating engine, intake and exhaust valves are opened by a cam and closed by the A. rocker arms or cam follower. B. valve spring. C. lifters, or tappets. D. valve guide and or pushrod. Question 2. Which of the following statements is true about valve seats? A. insert seats are used only in cast iron heads. B. insert seats do not fit into a machined recess in the cylinder head of automotive engines. C. exhaust valve seats run cooler in aluminum heads than in cast iron heads. D. integral exhaust valve seats operate at hotter temperatures than do insert seats. Question 3. Dampers, or damper springs, are used inside some valve springs. 2. A. prevent valve spring surge. B. keep the valve spring attached to the valve. C. decrease valve spring pressure. D. retain valve stem seals. Question 4. A valve should be discarded if the margin is less than blank after refacing. A. 0.001 of an inch. B. 0.006 of an inch. C. 0.03 of an inch. D. 0.06 of an inch. Question 5. To lower and narrow a valve seat that has been cut at a 45 degree angle, use a cutter or stone of what angle? A. 60 degrees. B. 45 degrees. Circa 30 degrees. D. 15 degrees. Question 6. A valve seat should be concentric to the valve guide to a maximum TIR of A. 0.006 of an inch. B. 0.004 of an inch. C. 0.002 of an inch. D. 0.00015 of an inch. Question 7. Before a valve seat can be reconditioned or replaced, the blank must first be reconditioned. A. valve guide. B. valve seals. C. umbrella seals. D. cylinder bore. Question 8. Never remove more material from the tip of a valve than A. 0.001 of an inch. B. 0.002 of an inch. C. 0.02 of an inch. D. 0.05 of an inch. Question 9. Valve spring inserts, or shims, are designed to A. Increase installed height of the valve. B. Decrease installed height of the valve. C. Adjust the correct valve spring installed height. D. Decrease valve spring pressure to compensate for decreased installed height. Question 10. Umbrella type valve stem seals. A. Fit tightly onto the valve guide. B. Fit on the valve face to prevent combustion leaks. C. Fit tightly onto the valve stem. D. Lock under the valve retainer. End of chapter 31.